Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I mean, you know what it is, America. It is officially NBA season. Fresh haircut, fresh new suit. JJ Redick, all business ready to go. And hey, congratulations joining the A-team.
Thank you. Very, very excited about the opportunity to work with Doris and Mike and Lisa Salters, Tim Corrigan, legendary producer. Calling the NBA Finals? Come on, Stephen A.
It's major.
Woo!
Major.
Hold on to this moment.
Oh, I am.
It's well deserved.
You know,
congratulations. You deserve it.
I appreciate it.
I have to give it to you. You do a hell of a job.
Did you step up the suit game for first take or for that once you got the call for the A-team?
This actually, I ordered this suit. I ordered this suit about a month ago before Doc Rivers ever took the Milwaukee Bucks coaching job. So this was.
Are you telling me it only took you a month to get that suit?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Just a month?
Yeah, it's handmade in Italy.
JJ.
Of course it is.
Go ahead, Shannon.
Don't let Stephen A. fool you. He's humbled himself because my team beat the brakes off of him.
Oh, man, did you see Michael Parsons show up on the basketball court and play football and run over men,
Shannon,
women, and children?
Shannon, you know what's the best part? It's supposed to be Stephen A.'s sport, and you schooled him in his sport.
Yeah.
They beat us up.
Football player coach.
They beat us up.
Hey, Shannon, I just want to touch on Stephen A.'s comments to be real quick about enjoying this moment. So one of the things in my life, I just operate out of gratitude.
Yes.
And I am so grateful. I mentioned Doris and Lisa and Tim and Mike. I'm so grateful I get to work with Molly and Stephen A. And now I get to be on a show with you. Are you kidding
Lord.
Me? I just get to work with
Lord.
Goats. I get to work with
Lord.
Goats.
Oh, Lord. You know, see, him and his cheating self. They're cheating the rules and the whole bit. But Shay,
Molly,
here's the deal, Shay. On this show, you know who I'm sitting across from, right? We call him Top Gun. That's not Tom Cruise. It's him. Okay, so I just want to let you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's roll.
Shannon, we know what it is. We know what it is.
Yeah.
I like the chain. All right, you guys want to dive in. It's great to have you back, Jay. All right, so lots of young stars, obviously, in the NBA, but there'll be super huge shoes to fill, eventually appraising guys like LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. They've got now, but who's got next?
I would say Shay, Ant-Man. You know, I feel like those are two of the guys, you know, that that continue the torch. You know, after I'm done, after Steph, KD, you know, the guys that have just been setting the standard for so many years.
There's a lot of guys to pick from in this group of the 24 that are here. You see Luka, Ant, Shay, guys that are like really coming into their prime and. They're highly decorated already as, you know, all-stars and all NBA guys.
When LeBron retires, you know, the face of the league, that's tough. But, you know, we win a championship. I got something to say about it. I know that.
JJ, I feel like this is a difficult question to answer. Maybe not for you. But who do you feel like will be the face of the NBA post that era when we're talking the guys like LeBron, KD, Steph?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we talked about this on our podcast with Tim Legler and Richard Jefferson, two other ESPN people, at the beginning of the season. And this time is approaching where Steph and LeBron, they're not going to be here forever. They're not going to be playing at this level forever. And it's interesting because I read all the players' comments over the weekend because they were all asked about it. And they all talked about it has to be organic. Like, we can't choose who the next face of the league is. It has to be organic. And a lot of times, I would say most of the time, it comes with winning. It comes with winning a championship. Kobe became the face of the league because he won. MJ became the face of the league because he won. Magic, Larry, they won. That's why they were the face of the league. The other point about this that I think is important, because Stephen A. has touched on this many times in the past, you have to want to be the face of the league.
Mm.
I had some issues with your comments last year, Stephen A., about Kawhi being the worst superstar ever. Kawhi doesn't want to be the face of the league. He's a two-time finals MVP. Jokic doesn't want to be famous. Jokic doesn't want to be the face of the league. So when you start looking at, well, which guys could be the face of the league, In terms of American players, I think it's Tyrese Halliburton. I think it's Jason Tatum. I certainly think it's Anthony Edwards. It could be someone else. But there has to be, I think, the embrace of being a face of the league. There has to be the personality, the dynamic nature of the player and the person to become the face of the league. None of us thought Steph Curry in 2008, 2009 was going to eventually become the face of the league. But he is. We can't predict these things. My question actually for both of you guys, because we've had five straight MVPs that are all internationally born.
Right.
And if you look at the MVP race this year, it's the same situation, right? It's Luka, it's Shea, it's Embiid, or Embiid before he got hurt, it's Giannis, it's Jokic again, right? Is it bad for the league that the best players are internationally born?
I would say to you, no. It's not bad for the league if the best players are internationally born. It is bad for the league if the American players give you the impression that they don't want it, that they're indifferent to embracing the responsibility of being the face of the league. That's what's bad, okay? Now, if you're just not good enough, you're not good enough. In other words, compared to Jokic, compared to Giannis, compared to Luka. If they're just better and that's why that one of them become the face, then no problem whatsoever. But if they're the face because not only do they perform, but they have that appeal, that allure, and they care about being the marquee, and you can see that they're more apt to embrace it than the players themselves that are American-born, then we've got a problem, because what the hell has happened to us as a sport, particularly since this is an American-born sport? Obviously, you have a vast majority of the players, particularly of African-American descent, and nobody wants it. That would be problematic for me personally. And Shannon, just to make sure we illuminate what we were talking about, when I went after Kawhi Leonard last year and JJ had an issue with that, I called Kawhi Leonard the worst superstar you could possibly have, not because of his skill set. I know how great he is, but because he does nothing to market the sport per se. And JJ wanted me, he pressed me about that because initially we were talking about his injury and all of this other stuff. And I was like, no, I'm not questioning.
We've worked through it, Shannon.
We worked through it. Ebony and Ivory, baby. Ebony and Ivory, baby. Ebony and Ivory. That's what it is.
Okay.
But in the end, to answer this question, who'll be, you know, the identity of the NBA in the post-LeBron era? I like Ant-Man. I was disappointed with him, JJ, this weekend, only in this sense. You go out there, you're shooting the ball left-handed, you're playing around and stuff like that. I know you were playing around. Then you got these quotes about how it's supposed to be an off time, an off weekend. You don't know. The reality is that when you talk about marketing the sport and being a face and being a headliner and being a marquee, those things come with it where you seize a moment. You're surrounded by the best in the world, the best players in the world, and you want to do everything you can to show that you are the person on the come up. Like Michael Jordan with Magic and Bird when he said, "Fellas, there's a new sheriff in town." He wanted to send a message. And that's what America and that's what the basketball world wants to see from that face of the NBA. They want to see somebody that's coming along and saying, "I want it. This is what I want. This is what I'm going for, and I want it bad." That's what you want to see. And I think that Ant-Man has the ability to do that, even though he let me down this weekend.
I think both of you guys make very, very good points, very interesting points. I think the thing is that when we saw Magic and Bird, we saw the next guy was going to be Michael Jordan. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We knew who it was going to be. And when Jordan started to leave, we saw it was going to be Kobe Bryant. And then we saw LeBron James. But what we also saw, we saw a guy that had won, winning championships, MVPs. But we also saw a guy that was going to be here for the next 10 years. And I think the thing is, you're absolutely right. Steph and KD not going to be around for another 10 years. So those guys are going to start to exit stage left. LeBron probably the next 2 years. Steph the next 4 or 5 years. KD, same thing as that. But the question that I have for you guys, who has won enough, who has MVPs, who has championships that we can say, okay, he's ready to ascend to that throne? And like you said, guys, what American player has that? Is there an American player outside of Kevin Durant, outside of LeBron and Steph? Now, we know James Harden, but he's going to be leaving, so he's not going to be it. We know Russ, but who's the other American-born players that have won championships, that has MVPs, that we can put in that spot?
Nobody.
It's literally just Kawhi.
Yep. But as you said, Kawhi doesn't want that responsibility. But Stephen A., I think you can answer this better than JJ and I. What about relationship status? Magic and Bird was married. LeBron was in a relationship with Savannah. How do we look at that? Because when we look at presidential candidates, we look at candidates, we want them to be secure. We want them to be foundational pieces.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not gonna lie. I don't know what the hell you're asking.
I did not expect this.
Hold on a second.
Can I say one thing, Shannon? Yes. I know what you're saying. Like the first lady of basketball, like they would say Steph Curry and Ayesha Curry, and we know them and the example and the role model.
Okay.
I get what you're saying.
Got it. I didn't get that.
Like the home life looks on point.
I appreciate that question. I didn't know.
Yes.
I really didn't know.
Shannon, I get the optics, and I hear you. They just
don't. I didn't hear the Ayesha part. I heard the Savannah part, but I didn't hear the Aisha part.
Yeah, like Savannah and LeBron have a beautiful family, and he's saying, does that play a role in being the face of the league and marketable? I see your sarcastic smirk, so go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I did not expect this conversation to take this route. But
welcome to First Take.
I've been meaning to talk to both of you about this, because I've been listening to your podcast. I see all the clips on social media. You guys go into some really strange directions in terms of...
Yeah, I go in there because of callers and tweets that send
callers.
Messages. This brother right here, he came up with the idea.
Don't Disney Unplugged.
That's what Shannon been pitching. And I'm like this. I get it. Disney Unplugged. Because that damn sure is Disney Unplugged what Shannon be doing on that nightcap show.
I just want to say, let's not act like some of the faces of the league have been perfect with their off-court behavior.
Yeah, that's
so, I don't necessarily think that's a precursor. And you're obviously using Steph and LeBron in sort of the present tense. And by and large, those guys are scandal-free, right?
Right.
Let's not act like some of the past faces of the league have been perfect.
That's true.
Let's not act like that.
That's totally true.
I want to bring up something Stephen A. just said real quick.
Uh-huh.
And that's just the Anthony Edwards piece.
Okay.
Because, I like to talk about juxtaposition. I like to talk about, disparity in approach, right?
Okay.
And I brought it up last time I was on the show in December when we were talking about the in-season tournament and you had the semifinals in Vegas, and it was like LeBron's approach versus Zion's approach, right? Two very different things.
Yeah.
And if you look at this past weekend, I thought there was a fairly large disparity in approach between how Halliburton handled this weekend and how Anthony Edwards handled this weekend.
Absolutely.
And that's not to say I'm disappointed in Anthony Edwards, but it does further our point, which you have to embrace these moments, and Halliburton embraced it. To your question, Shannon, about which American player has won, and I brought up that question not in any sense of xenophobia, right? It's not a fear or dislike.
No.
But I'm talking about the markability of the league within the United States, not globally. 30% of the league is internationally born right now.
That's
it is a global sport.
Yes,
we can all acknowledge that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong in my eyes with international players winning MVP and being the best players.
Right.
I have no issue with that.
Neither do I.
Right.
The one guy that's gotten close and seems to be willing to embrace this mantle is Jason Tatum. And
I think
this year they have the best opportunity they've had to actually win a championship.
The other thing that we have to pay attention to is this, and I agree with you about Jason Tatum, by the way, because if he wins a championship this year, we do have to look at him potentially as a face of the league, because I think he's the best player on the best team right now in the NBA, and he should be the leading candidate for league MVP honors, but that's just me. We can't ignore Giannis, because Giannis is already a champion. And not only that, Giannis, who has a personality, who's got endorsement deals, who's done commercials and stuff like that. He's also a guy, from a competitive standpoint, we love how he approaches it. He's not trying to befriend the quote-unquote enemy. He's coming for you. And he lets you know he's coming for you on a night-in, night-out basis. And that is a component that we look for when somebody is the marquee as well.
Can I just add one thing?
Yeah.
I think this is all a moot point if you don't win championships.
100%.
At the end of the day.
100%.
So you can be marketable.
Yes.
You can approach the game.
Gotta win.
If you don't get rings, you're not a part of the
conversation.
Which is why we can't predict which teams are going to win. So it's hard to predict.
Correct.
Absolutely.
It's got to be organic. It happens 100%. Organically based on who wins.
What?
And then you add in those
we
other
got spo-
100%, Molly.
We got spoiled, guys, because Magic and Bird won so early in their career. Not yeah. only championships, but MVPs. And now that is the expectation. Sometimes guys are so great, they make it look easy, and you think everybody should do that. Everybody should win a championship in their rookie season. Everybody should win a championship by their second season. Mm-hmm. Everybody should win MVPs by their third or fourth season. And Bird won three MVPs back-to-back, 84, 85, 86, in his first seven seasons. So we think that's easy. It's not. It's not. Also, maybe we have unrealistic expectations of what we think the face of the NBA should be.
But we also
could that possibly be it, Stephen A?
Yeah, it could be. But the other side to it is we didn't get spoiled just by them winning. We also got spoiled by how marketable they were. Magic Johnson.
Yes.
I mean, he could come. America invited him into their living room. And we know that was the case with Bird as well. They were marketable off the court as well as on the court. And that's what did it as well.
Yeah.
But Bird didn't do a whole lot off the court. I mean, but before that commercial with Magic.
I'm talking about the commercials with Magic.
I'm talking about with Bird.
Right.
Even though Bird became one of the faces of the league, we didn't really see Bird in the commercial until him and that weapons commercial where they driving down that cornfield and Magic lets down the window of the limo. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was a huge Larry Bird fan. All he did is win, and that certainly helped.
That's it.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Can we dive into the East? Because, JJ, I want you to break this down for me. So Giannis has had four coaches within the past year. Now the Doc Rivers Milwaukee era hasn't exactly gotten off to a hot start as the Bucks. They're currently 3-7 with him as head coach. Doc, what's going on?
Taking a job when you're about to go on the toughest road trip of the season is not the smartest decision. I even told them that. Can we wait till All-Star break? You know, it would have been a lot nicer. It's been difficult. It's been probably more difficult than I thought.
It's hard. This is my fourth. This is my fourth coach in the span of 6 months. From Coach Bud, Coach Griff, Coach Joe, then Doc. You know, different philosophy, different game plan. Yeah, it's hard. It's draining. You know, because I am a student of the game. I try to... When somebody asks me to do something, try to do it in the best of my ability.
Four coaches in the past year. The Bucks find themselves 8.5 games back of the first place Celtics as we enter the second half of the season. Boston, they're the favorites at ESPN Bet to win the NBA title as well. And our ESPN analytics give the Bucks the most difficult remaining schedule in the East. Interesting. I mean, looking at this right now, the Cavs second. Who would have thought that? Okay, Stephen A., are you taking the Celtics or the field right now to win the East?
The Celtics. I've said it from the very beginning of this season, and I stand by it right now. They're the best team in basketball. They've got a four-game advantage over the Minnesota Timberwolves, a six-game advantage in the East over the Cleveland Cavaliers. They ended the first half of the season or the All-Star before the All-Star break by winning six straight. Right now, they're number one in offensive efficiency, number three in defensive efficiency. Net rating, they're first in that as well, outscoring opponents by 10.3 points per 100 possessions. I'm looking at them right now, and I'm saying, excuse me, I'm saying this about the Boston Celtics. And, JJ, I'm not even happy with them because I think they jack up too many damn threes. I think it's like 47.3%. They lead the league in three-point rate. That's how much they're jacking up three-point shots, for crying out loud. I think they need to cut that down just a touch. And still, I'm looking at their personnel. I'm looking at Porzingis. I'm looking at Orford coming off the bench. I'm looking at White and Holiday as defensive wizards in the backcourt. I'm looking at Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I'm saying to myself, my goodness, they've got athleticism. They've got perimeter shooting. They defend. They can put up buckets. They've got a star and a superstar on their squad together. I'm looking at the Boston Celtics, and I'm saying, who can I definitively look at in the East and say, you know what, they can take them. You know I'm loving my Knicks right now, orange and blue skies, baby, orange and blue skies. But I am not, I don't need to get drug tested by saying that I think they're going to beat the Celtics. The Celtics are the favorites against everybody. And by the way, just as a reminder, that game seven in Miami after they overcame an 0-3 deficit, won three games in game seven, and Jason Tatum got hurt in game seven. It was in Boston, right? The bottom line is this. We all looked at it and we said, damn, we kind of wanted Boston simply because we thought Miami was undersized going up against Denver and we knew what the outcome would be. Obviously, we would have felt a little bit differently had that been Boston going against Denver instead of Miami. This is what I'm looking at right now. Boston's knocking on the door. I think Boston's the best team in basketball. I'm going with the Celtics, not the field.
Before I go into my point, Stephen A., JJ, can we stop? Can Giannis stop pretending, oh, I've had four coaches in a year? Because you wanted them all gone. You wanted Jason Kidd gone. You wanted Bud gone. You wanted Adrian Griffin gone. So please stop this notion talking about a different system. They want you to do different things, different game plans.
He didn't want Jason Kidd going.
Shannon, do you feel like he's kind of playing the victim right now?
He didn't. I'm telling you what, he didn't want Jason Kidd going.
Yes. For the simple fact is he's a super, super duper star. And they'll do anything they can to keep him. They haven't had a player like him since one Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And he ended up leaving, going to L.A. The last thing you want to do is to have your two best players, they be unhappy and they leave. They exit stage. And so they're going to do everything. So he didn't want Bud gone. Let me ask you a question. Did he want Bud gone?
Yeah.
Stephen A., that's
I'm not going to. JJ's better equipped to answer that question than me. I will tell you this. Mike Budenholzer was a hell of a coach. I think that he went through a lot personally over the last year, and it was a lot that was wearing on him, and he wasn't the same person. I don't think anybody looked at him and questioned his coaching ability. He wasn't the same person, but he definitely wanted Adrian Griffin, and then he didn't want him. That is true.
Okay. Look here. This is what we know about the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks would have given Giannis anything he wanted, even a part of Harley Davidson, and they don't even own any part of Harley Davidson. But they would have gave him that to keep him happy. Now to your point. Stephen A., you make great, compelling points. The Celtics has looked like the best team. And now with Joel Embiid being hurt, I don't really see a team that's been consistent enough. I did hear Shaq tell Damian Lillard, say, look, if this thing goes sideways, you, Doc, and Giannis is going to take the blame. You need to go back, grab somebody by the throat, and say, this is what I need from you. And I think that is the only team right now that I look at that could cause them some problem. They do have two top 12 players. Giannis is one of the top two or three players in all the league, and we know what Dame can do. But right now, they're underperforming. Doc is underperforming coaching, 3-7 in the last 10 games. So, unfortunately, Stephen A., with Joel Embiid and being hurt, as much as I want to take the field, I don't believe Cleveland can beat Boston in a seven-game series. I definitely don't believe your Knicks because Thibodeau is going to be ran those guys in the ground. They're going to be on fumes by the time the first round, let alone get to a second round or an Eastern Conference.
Resting
by
now.
The way, before JJ, you jump in, that game's Celtics are at Knicks Saturday on ABC. JJ will be calling that game.
Okay.
That'll be a good one.
First game with Mike and Doris and Lisa. So excited about that.
And I'll be there, JJ.
All right. As a fan?
Yeah, as a fan.
I love it.
I don't need to be at that game. The crew isn't back yet. Randall, Robinson, Ananobi.
Oh,
when everybody
get
back, I'll be there.
Okay, because I'm there, so you're trying to act like it's not a big deal. The crew's not there.
It's not a big deal that you're there, Miss UConn. It's not a big deal. You ain't no Knicks fan.
Okay.
Well, go ahead, JJ.
Molly's going to be a player.
Mm-hmm.
To answer the question, sorry, we got sidetracked there. To answer the question, I'm absolutely taking the Celtics right now over the field in the East. And that's not a knock. That's not a knock on any team in the East, because I think there's truthfully a handful of really good teams in the Eastern Conference. The reason I'm taking the Celtics, it's not because of Jason Tatum. It's not because of Jaylen Brown. If anyone knows me and has followed me over the last year and a half, it's not because of Derek White and my love for him. It's because of Kristaps Porzingis. This guy is a total difference maker for them. He has given them a new dynamic for their offense, and he's providing the same defense, essentially, that Rob Williams was giving them. When you look at the Celtics and how they're playing right now, Stephen A. brought up the threes. And, you know, I promised Stephen A. on our production call this morning I'd try to keep the data and the stats to a minimum. But
I told you to bring it.
I got
to
drop this. Yeah. I got to drop this. Joe Mazzulla, at the beginning of the year, he talked about wanting to post up mismatches more with Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, okay? Right now, the Celtics have essentially tripled their frequency in post-ups. They are hunting out mismatches. When we start talking about late-game stuff, Kristaps Porzingis unlocks their defense. You want to run an after-timeout play with 17 seconds to go? He unlocks what they can do on the offensive end. I said defense earlier, I'm sorry. What they can do on the offensive end. Kristaps Porzingis, we have 10 years of tracking data. He's having the most efficient season posting up the basketball in the last 10 years. That's over Jokic. That's over Embiid. And why is that? Because he's posting mismatches. You go down the list of his most frequent guys that are guarding him in the post, and it's all perimeter guys. When he rolls in a drop coverage, he's getting behind the defense. That two-man action with Jaylen Brown on the left side, Jaylen Brown going to his right hand, him getting behind the defense. It's great action for the Celtics. He has completely changed their team. So when we start talking about playoffs and matchups, it's Kristaps Porzingis. He's the most important third option in the NBA. I would probably put James Harden second. You know, so Kristaps Porzingis, the most important third option in the Eastern Conference, and it's because of his ability to punish switching. That's the reason I have the Celtics as the favorites right now over the field in the Eastern Conference. Side note real quick, no one's going to react to Doc's audio there. We've been 7 minutes since we showed that audio. Nobody's going to react to Doc's audio.
Do you want me to get it repeated for you?
We don't have to repeat it.
I've
seen the trend now. I've seen the trend for years.
What's the trend?
The trend is always making excuses. Doc, we get it. Taking over a team in the middle of the season is hard. It's hard. We get it. Just like getting traded in the middle of the season is hard for a player. We get it. Mm-hmm. But it's always an excuse. It's always throwing your team under the bus. They lose to Memphis. Oh, it's his players' fault. Memphis was playing G League guys and two-way guys. And then you look at his quotes over the weekend. Now he wants to take credit for the James Harden trade to the Clippers working out. He wants credit for that. There's just no – there's never accountability with that guy.
Well,
there's never accountability.
Well, let me say a couple of things. Number one, that's a very serious thing to say, and we should take it serious for you. Because we should take it serious.
You can take it serious.
He seemed pretty serious.
Let me finish. We should take it serious because you played for him. So for you to say something like that, it matters. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to say this because Doc Rivers needs to hear, and I got love for him, but he needs to hear this, okay? Just go out there and coach, because here's the deal. You were playing an advisor's role in Milwaukee, and all of a sudden now you're the head coach. People haven't brought that up, and the more you talk about how difficult this is, the more it brings attention to, wait a minute. Nobody's trying to hear that. You got the job. Go win. Go win.
Yeah.
It's just that simple, because it didn't happen in L.A. all of those years with the Clippers. It didn't happen. Didn't happen in Philadelphia.
And now, this, I've said this, JJ, the second he got the job, if Doc Rivers doesn't, I'm not talking about this season because he came in there halfway through, but if Doc Rivers, between this year and next season, doesn't win, I think it'll be his last head coaching job in the NBA. I don't think this is, yeah. I think this is you last chance. I think this is last chance. I think this is last
You can't bring up, it was probably, it wasn't the wisest decision to come in a 10-game, you know, with your toughest road stretch of the season. Come on, bro. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. They're really not. You got the job. You wanted the job because you could have stayed, had a nice little cozy job right alongside Doris Burke and Mike Breen. Now JJ has that job, but you could have stayed put. You wanted this job, and you know what the expectations are. But let me ask you guys this, JJ, Stephen A., a healthy Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey with the way Tobias Harris and Kelly Oubre were playing, do you believe if Embiid was healthy, they could beat the Celtics in a 7-game series?
I do. And I'll tell you, Joel Embiid has, for his career, has been battling injuries throughout every playoff run they've ever had. If Joel Embiid is healthy and he gets back in time and he's in shape and he's healthy and he's in rhythm, absolutely. Let's not overlook the fact the Sixers have not been a volume three-point shooting team. It's one of the reasons that for stretches of the game, their offense is inefficient. They added Buddy Hield, who's one of the greatest volume three-point shooters of this era. Let's not overlook that transaction because Buddy Hield is a difference maker for that team if Joel Embiid is healthy.
Mm. Correct. Only if Joel Embiid is healthy. Only.
By the way, before we put a cap on this subject in regards to Doc Rivers, is it fair to say that you're not the only player, former player, who feels the way that you feel?
Of course. But there are guys that okay. I loved playing for Doc when I was there. I was there 4 years. Yeah. I'm not talking about him as a basketball coach.
Right. Yeah.
I'm talking about
the accountability.
The messaging. It's
accountability.
I can go back years. Stephen A. Let's not fall for this anymore. Like it's silly. It's silly at this point.
Okay? Yeah. Before we roll, JJ, what would you say the Bucks ceiling is this season?
Oh, I think, look, if you look at the 10 games, some positives. Their defense is now trending in the right direction.
Offense is trending in the wrong direction.
A lot of that has been their fourth quarter offense and Damian Lillard shooting. We saw what Damian Lillard did over All-Star weekend. If Damian Lillard is playing at a high level, Giannis has been fantastic.
Right.
And their defense continues to trend in the right direction. They can win the Eastern Conference. That's their ceiling.
How have they changed things defensively? How have they gotten better?
They've gotten back to their normal coverages.
Got it.
You know, Adrian Griffin put an emphasis because of the way that Nick Nurse had Toronto's defense running. He put an emphasis on trying to create turnovers and pressuring the basketball. And what did that create? That created a bunch of blow-bys. Brooke Lopez and Giannis out of position. They were terrible defending the rim, and they were giving up threes.
And they didn't create
any more turnovers. Yeah. You have to base a defense in the NBA based on your personnel, and they've gotten back to that. They've gotten back to that.
Shay, you got the final word here.
The size. You look at Milwaukee, you look at their size. They got 7-foot Lopez. They got 6'11 Giannis. They got Portis. They're a big backcourt team, almost like the Minnesota Timberwolves. Why are you trying to pressure the ball when you don't have a Holiday? When you don't have guys that are good on-ball defenders? I know Malik Beasley, but he's not an elite on-ball defender like Holiday was. So you can't play the same style of defense that you could when you had Holiday and you had that big front court that could protect the rim. But Dame Lillard is going to have to pick it up. We know what Dame represents. We've seen him. He's big time in the fourth quarter. Put him in the pick and roll, and, hey, let's get it done. But Dame's got to bring this thing home. He wanted to go somewhere with a chance to win. He's playing with the best player that he's ever played with and he'll probably ever play with. There's no excuse. They've got to get it done.
Dame time. I got it. All right, that was a great discussion. And I love when you try to take a shot at me and say UConn. Like, did you see what UConn did over the weekend? Number one in the country, beat down on Marquette, 30-point blow. I mean, how good
so
is how good is that team?
I didn't expect them to beat Marquette like that.
Yeah,
they got to go to Marquette soon. Yeah. We'll see what happens in that game.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Is this like 77 Marquette? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Fourth in the country,
oh, okay. I'm just
Jay. Don't hate.
I'm just checking.
Can't wait to see you at the Knicks-Celtics game. Stephen A., enjoy L.A. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and you're listening to the First Take podcast. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of everything, to be honest with you. Podcasts, audiobooks, music when I'm working out. And one reason it's been great to listen is because of my Raycon wireless earbuds. So Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable and they will not budge. Trust me. Raycon gives you 8 hours of playtime, 32 hours of battery life, and they're priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. Three customizable sound profiles, earbud tap functions, noise isolation, and awareness mode. Go to buyraycon.com/firsttake today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/firsttake to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/firsttake. Don't miss out. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
Bill Russell was the ultimate winner, but his impact on securing equal rights for all Americans loomed larger today than his 11 championships with the Boston Celtics. Playing when the NBA still had unspoken racial quotas, limiting the number of black players in the league, Russell spoke out fearlessly and constantly about racial justice. His activism helped pass national civil rights laws that promised equal rights for all races. After Russell died in 2022 at the age of 88, the NBA retired as number 6 across the entire league, a small honor for a true giant of history.
Absolutely. Legend right there. Here's the answer to that trivia question. The answer, Bill Russell, who won the NBA title with the Celtics in 1968 as a player coach. 6 different black head coaches have won 8 total titles in the NBA. Across the NFL, NHL, and MLB, only 5 different head coaches have combined for 6 titles. 4 in MLB, 2 in the NFL, and none in the NHL.
What happened and why your team isn't here?
All honesty, I think the main thing is who's burned out, man. Long season, team dominantly healthy throughout the season. The legs get tired, but also, you got to give hats off to Green Bay, man. They came out with a great game plan.
Tired and desire were two things that he emphasized. Another postseason came and went without a Super Bowl for America's team, which has been a storyline for the past 29 years, as Stephen A. reminds you. That was current Cowboys star defensive lineman DeMarcus Lawrence breaking that down with us on what went wrong in their wild card loss to the Packers at the Super Bowl. However, fellow defensive star Micah Parsons didn't agree with his teammates' assessment. He recently sat down with Stephen A. Take a listen to this.
Don't get me wrong. Yes, I agree that teams play us like the Super Bowl. We are the Dallas Cowboys. But in the end, that's not a good enough reason or excuse to say that publicly. You should never go into a game like, I'm tired, like I'm ready to go home. Because that's what's exactly going to happen, and it did happen. That's part of culture and identity that I just feel like we're missing. Like, that's just something like I don't agree with at all. But as soon as playoffs hit, knowing how limited and how hard it is to win in playoff game, I would never say I'm tired or I feel fatigued.
Shannon, you know, when DeMarcus Lawrence sat down on set with us, I feel like in life, and we talk about a lot in sports, there are things you can control and you can't control, right? Your desire to win, the want to, he talked about that. And he talked about guys being tired, things you should be able to control, right? And then we hear a far departure from that from Micah Parsons. So I'm not sure what to really make of this, but tell me this. How do you feel like the Cowboys can fix any culture issues? Because we know they have the talent on paper.
Before I offer what I think they can do, Stephen A., do you remember you and I got up and I said, Stephen A., this is not going to go over very well.
That's right.
Yes, having, played 14 years and been in that locker room, to hear him say that, he's tired when every other team has played the same number of games that you've played up until that point. And for
let me tell the audience, you got up. First of all, you challenged him on it. Then after that, you got up during commercial break and walked over to him and you said a few words to him. And then you came to me and you said during commercial break while we was out there freezing in Vegas, you're like, Stephen A., this ain't going to go over well. I'm telling you right now, this ain't going to go over well.
No, because there are certain things you just can't say publicly. You might feel that way, but you can't say it publicly. The problem that they have is something that's beyond repair, that's beyond fixing, and that's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones created the culture. He created it. So this is what you get right now. You get guys making excuses, and the Cowboys have had the better team a number of years in the postseason, but they lose even at home. But this is a Jerry Jones, and it's something that they can't overcome because the coaches can't coach because Jerry is the coach. And whatever Mike McCarthy says, whatever the D coordinator says, they can go upstairs to Jerry and override because he's emasculated the head coach. The coach is a coach in theory, entitled only. Jerry is the coach. He's the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, the position coach, because this is what he's allowed to happen. When Jimmy was there, you actually think somebody would have ever uttered, I'm tired? Absolutely not. The problem is that Jerry has allowed this to happen, go on for far too long. I'm not excusing the players because at the end of the day, you're responsible for what happens on that field. But Jerry has allowed this. He doesn't put a coach in place. He doesn't put people in place that can hold the players accountable. And what I've known, if you don't hold them accountable, more times than not, they're going to do what the Cowboys have been doing over the last 25 plus years.
My answer to this question, Shannon, is they should have hired Bill Belichick. This is exactly what I was talking about. It's not just that he's a six-time champion as a head coach, a two-time champion as a coordinator, a person that, as a head coach, went to 9 Super Bowls. It's the Patriot mystique during all of those years of success, whether they were winning the Super Bowl, whether they went to 10 seasons without winning the Super Bowl or whatever, you heard about the Patriot way. And we knew what that meant, the Belichick way. Because even though he had a superstar who would ultimately be known as the greatest of all time and Tom Brady, it was clear who was running football operations. It was clear.
Right.
That if you did anything inside that locker room that was not liked or was frowned upon by Bill Belichick, something's going to happen to you. Everybody understood it. You knew Robert Kraft was the owner. You knew that the buck stopped with him. But you also knew that when it came to inside that locker room, there was one voice. See, Robert Kraft might have something to say when it comes to finances, when it comes to contractual negotiations, etc. But the football portion of it, inside that locker room, how you walked, how you talked, how you act, how you chirped, what you said to the media, what you didn't say to the media, how you conducted yourself. Oh, no. That was one voice right there. That was one.
Yeah,
and that person was Bill Belichick. And that's why I said That was the biggest reason that Mike McCarthy should have been going in favor of Bill Belichick. It wasn't about Mike McCarthy being fired. It was about a six-time champion with a reputation that preceded him, that touched on all the points, all the deficiencies that have plagued the Dallas Cowboys. See, if Bill Belichick was there, Jerry Jones could still be everything you say Jerry Jones is. But it don't matter.
Right.
Because when it come time for Sunday and all of that other stuff, the bottom line is this is what's going on. And in the end, there's no way around it. And to not have Bill Belichick, to not have that kind of voice, ultimately, Jerry's voice is going to reign supreme, and you're going to continue to have the cultural issues that you have had and the division that you have.
You've got to empower your coach. But Stephen A., it comes down to this. I knew what Mike expected, being a leader. D-Law is a leader. I think he might be the most senior leader on that defense that's been a Cowboy. How dare you allow this to happen? How dare you speak this publicly? That's the job of a leader. You know what, Stephen A., people say, well, leader, leader, leader. A lot of times, Shannon Sharp handled things in the locker room before Mike Shanahan knew anything about it. Because once it got to him, it was too late. I had to hold guys accountable because you never ask more than you're willing to give. If you see me working out, you see me in the training room, you see me in the cold tub, I expect from you? And for him, how do you let your legs get tired? Okay, train your eating, different your eating habits. Get in the cold tub. Get massages. But you can't. These opportunities don't come around often. Well, and when they come around, you've got to seize the moment.
There's something else that he said, Shannon, that neither you nor I locked in on. And listen, we appreciated DeMarcus Lawrence coming on the show, being honest and forthcoming and saying what he had to say, but that didn't make it wise and right for him to say what he said about himself and his teammates. And in fairness to him, he wasn't throwing his teammates under the bus. He was saying himself as well. He was putting himself under that umbrella. He didn't say them. He said us. Having said all of that, here was the biggest thing that I took away from it too, Shannon. He talked about how part of the reason was because every week is a Super Bowl contest because we the Dallas Cowboys and everybody comes after us and it's a heavy, heavy load to carry. That's what he said. And I'm saying to you, that does come with being a Dallas Cowboy. There are those who are built to accept it and embrace it, and there are those who succumb to it because the weight is just too heavy. And it has a lot to do, all joking aside, with why I always say, just wait, be patient. They won't let you down because the weight is too heavy.
Real quick, though, Shan, before we roll, when he was saying he was tired, though, don't you feel like he meant burnt out more mentally, emotionally than physically? Or you took it literally as physically?
It doesn't matter the physical or the literal interpretation, the figurative or the literal interpretation. So what had he done different than the Green Bay Packers? Everybody got three preseason games, and they were both wild. And so I don't get it.
But, Shannon, one more thing. I know we got to go to bump. But do you think he could have been also sending a message to his teammates as well?
That's not the impression.
Well, I didn't get that message because here's the thing. When you say we're tired, you're talking about you because how do you know somebody else was tired? I take it as you speak for yourself first, and then you speak outwardly. But for me, Molly, even if that's the case, Molly, you can't say that in a locker room.
I get it, but he talked about the want to. He talked about the want to, and he said that like he didn't feel like everybody had the same want to. And I felt like that was kind of sending a message to the teammates. That's how I perceived it.
Yeah, but okay, what want to? So when are they going to want it? Because they keep being in this situation. I've been back-to-back. Think about it. You talk about everybody approach the Cowboys. What do the Cowboys have that the Kansas City don't have? Y'all ain't got no Super Bowl. What you mean they approach y'all like y'all the Super Bowl champ? Yep. Y'all don't have anything.
No.
Y'all haven't won anything in 30 years.
No, it's fair. I'm with you on everything. I was just playing devil's advocate on those couple things. Let me roll those so we can get to the top of the hour here, guys.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.